Luke chapter number 15 this morning, and I sure do appreciate all the good singing that we've had, and I pray that the Lord will bless. I'll tell you, Brother Dathan, I want to find out, give me that page number to Just As I Am. When you get it, just yell at me, all right? I'm okay with that, all right? I want to know what page that is, and we're going to sing that this morning for invitation. How many of y'all like that old song? Just, you know, before I got saved, that song, I didn't like that song before I got saved. It made me nervous. You know why? Because I wasn't ready to meet God. But after I got saved, that's a wonderful song after you get born in the family of God. What page?
286 in the New Book.
All right, we'll sing that for invitation. I just had that on my heart while we was sitting here and worshiping with that song. I want to go to Luke chapter 15. If you'll stand with us in reverence to the Word of God in prayer. I've kind of been threatening this thought for the last 2 or 3 weeks as I've been preaching in other messages, but this week I want to take this thought that has been probably lingering in my heart for about 3 weeks out of this chapter, and just going to read some phrases, and you'll probably know immediately where I'm going here in Luke chapter 15. But notice the first phrase in verse number 18. He said, "I will arise and go to my father." Verse number 20 says, "And he arose and came to his father." Then verse 24 says, "For this my son was dead and is alive again." Notice with me again in verse number 32. The Bible says, "It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again." Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you this morning in Jesus' name to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, you said to enter into your gates with thanksgiving and into your courts with praise, to be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And we thank you this morning, dear God, for the truth of your word. You, Lord, you said to come before your presence with singing, and certainly we've done that this morning. And I pray now, dear Lord, in Jesus' name, that name that is above every name this morning, God, that you would speak to our hearts, help us to receive with meekness the engrafted word, and may the will of God be done. Help us, Lord, this morning to search our heart. And if there be anybody here this morning under the sound of our voice that's never been saved, I pray the Holy Spirit would deal with their heart. May they come and find an altar of repentance and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved by the grace of God this morning. Have your way now. We'll thank you for it. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, according to the Father in verse number 24 and verse number 32, he makes it very clear that his son was dead. As he said, "For this my son was dead." And he says it again to the elder brother, his other son. He said, "It was meet that we should make him be merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead." He emphasizes the fact that this boy was dead, but we also cannot ignore the fact that even though he was dead, he was still alive. Amen. You say, "What do you mean?" Well, you don't have to read far into this text to note that this boy is living. He's living on the farm in verse number 12. He's the younger of the two sons. He's living on the farm, and he goes out, and the Bible even says he wasted his substance in riotous what? Living. Amen? And so this boy is, the father cannot lie, so we know that's true. The son is dead, but yet he is living, and we know that he lived on the farm. He even labored on the farm. A dead man can do no labor. And then he left the farm. He left the farm and went out into the far country. So the question that came to my mind when I was reading that text a few weeks ago is, how can you be both dead and alive? Well, when you think about it, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 1 makes it clear. For we all were dead at one time. Dead in our trespasses and sins. You see, this boy was alive physically, but he wasn't alive spiritually. Amen. Man's a body, soul, and a spirit. It is possible, and it is true, that when a man is born into this world, he may be alive physically, but he has to be regenerated. He has to be born again. Amen? Jesus told Nicodemus that, "Except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, what does that phrase, being born again, mean? Well, even Nicodemus had a problem with that. He said, "Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? How can a man be born when he is old?" Nicodemus
couldn't figure that out. And Jesus said, that which is born of flesh is flesh. That's the physical birth. But that which is born of spirit is spirit. That's the spiritual birth. Amen? So when a man is born into this world, he's born physically, but he's not born spiritually. He's dead because he was brought into this world with Adam's blood in his veins. And so when Adam sinned in the garden, God created Adam and he generated him. And then Adam sinned and sin degenerated him. But thank God through Calvary, man can be regenerated. And that's what we need is we need to be regenerated. We must, Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen? So when we talk about being born again, we're not talking about the physical birth, but we're talking about the spiritual side of man. And when you think about this boy in this text here, he was dead even though he was on the farm, and even though he was living with the Father never lived in him. He was dead to the Father. He was dead to the Father's person. He was dead to the Father's purpose. Amen? You see, the Father wanted to bless that boy. He wanted to love that boy, but that boy wanted nothing to do with that. He was dead, and he was dead to the Father's passions. I mean, that Father, he didn't love the farm. If you look at that, he loved them boys. Amen? He loved them two sons that he had. And sinner, I want to tell you something. God don't love the rocks and the rivers and the trees and the meadows. He loves you. Amen? He loves every man, woman, boy, and girl that's ever been born into this world. Amen? And this boy was dead to all of that. In fact, I think this young man, he represents a lot of people that we know very well. You say, what do you mean? Well, he represents people that have lived in church. They have grown up in church. That they have lived around the things of God. They know the farm. Amen? They know everything about it. They're very familiar with it. The only problem is there's no life on the inside of them. I mean, they're just a walking dead man. They've lived around all of this. They've even labored in the work of God. Maybe went on visitation. Maybe sung in the choir. Maybe done this or that in church. But there's nothing alive on the inside of them. This boy is alive, but yet he is dead. Hallelujah. I want to say this morning, he was dead to his surroundings. He had everything he needed on the farm. The Father was everything he needed, but he had no appreciation for the Father. You know, when people are lost, they can grow up in the best church. They can have the best parents. They can have family altar. They can have the Christian education. They're dead to all of that if they've never been saved. How can they be raised? Preacher, I raised them right and they went to the world. They're a walking dead person. He was dead to his surroundings. He was dead to the Father's blessings. He said, Father, give me the portion of goods. He didn't need the portion of goods. He had the entire farm. Amen? I mean, he had everything. He didn't want for nothing while he was on the farm. And he just wanted some little something that he could just say was his, thinking that he can make better of it than what the Father could give him. I want to tell you something. You can't get out in this world and do better out in this world than you can living for God. Amen? If you think that you're going to take something and you think, think about this. People that are lost, God's give them He's given them a roof over their head. He's put food on their table. He's put shoes on their feet and clothes on their back. And He's put breath in their body. He's let them live in America. I mean, God's give them some good portion of goods, hadn't He? But if you think that you can take what God has given you, and everything all of us have has come from God. James chapter 1 said, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, from whom is no variable, neither shadow of turning. Now, if you think you can take what God has given you and go out and live in the world and do better than what you could ever live in for God, all you got to do is read this chapter here. I'm telling you, everything we have is because God blessed us. And when you walk away from God, you're walking away from God's safety net. And you're walking away from God's blessings on your life. And that's what this man, this young boy did. He was dead. His deadness drove him from the Father. It drove him from the farm. It drove him from his brotherhood. It drove him from the blessings of God. It drove him into the far country. It drove him to a wasted life. It drove him to loneliness and starvation. It drove him to the hogs. It drove him to the filthiness of this world. And that's all sin ever does. Sin don't make life better. Sin don't make life easier. Sin doesn't make life sweeter. Oh no, sin. is a shackle that you can ever get out from. Sin will put you in prison. Sin will keep you from ever knowing anything good. Sin will make you lonely. Sin will starve you to death spiritually and physically and every other aspect in life. Sin does not come with a payday. Sin comes with a price. Hallelujah. Cost you. And this boy is dead. We're going to get this boy where he needs to be. Maybe it'll take a couple more weeks. But hallelujah, he's not going to stay dead. Thank God these scriptures, these four places we've read in this text, he's a sinner. But thank God he's going to be resurrected. And I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject, on the sinner's resurrection. The sinner's resurrection. You know, you might be here this morning and say, preacher, I'm just, the songs, I enjoy them, but they don't mean anything to me. All this thing about church doesn't mean anything to me. I want it to, but it doesn't mean nothing to me. I've tried to get it to mean something to me. Maybe you've been raised in church and you've been, you know the things of God as good as anybody else, but you're just dead to it. Your heart's not in any of it. Your heart's not anywhere's where we're at. Your heart is further out there, even though you're in here, and you're dead, and you've been dead to these things, and you and in yourself you say, you know what? I just want to live. Don't you want to live, sinner? I'm telling you, the songwriter had it right when he wrote that old song, said, I've just started living. Amen. I'm telling you, about 30 something years ago, Brother Laddie, I fell under deep Holy Ghost conviction, saw myself a sinner, knew I couldn't save myself. I tell you, when I got born again, you know what happened? Life sprang forth on the inside. There's a lot of things I didn't know about God, but there's one thing I knew. I knew I left the house of God different than when I came. I knew God had made a difference in my life. Have I been everything I ought to be? No. But I'm telling you, every morning I get up until I go to bed at night, I know there's somebody living on the inside, and it feels good to be alive. I'm not perfect, but thank God I'm not dead this morning. Amen. If you're saved, you know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. It's the best life I've ever known. I'd rather be saved and living for God as out drinking or smoking or doping. I'd rather be a child of God this morning. They can have their money. They can have their fortune. They can have their fame. Hey, I'd rather live under a bridge and know that I'm alive in Christ and alive in God as to have all the dead things of this old wicked world. Hallelujah. And I notice this boy, he's going to be resurrected. And I want to say, sinner, you may be here and say, I'm dead. Well, you don't have to live another day in that deadness. Today could be your day of resurrection. You say, oh, well, how is that? Well, notice four things about this boy and we'll be through. Number one, notice his attitude. Look what he said in verse number 18. He said, I will arise. I mean, this boy makes his mind up. It's all about his frame of mind in this verse. Now, I know that we're talking on a spiritual level, but God give us a Bible and God give us a brain for two very important reasons. Amen? The Bible has to do with the spiritual side and our brain has to do with the physical. You know, getting saved, there's common sense that comes into being saved. Amen? And what I'm saying is we shouldn't spiritualize, and we should spiritualize it because it is a spiritual experience and it is spiritual with God, but we shouldn't spiritualize things so much that we lose the common sense. See, the same God that gives you your spirit that's dead gave you that brain to use. And a man must have understanding to be saved. Acts chapter number Acts chapter number 8 where the eunuch says to Philip Philip, what did he ask him? He said, understandest thou? Do you understand what you read? See, Philip knew that if he's going to get saved, he's got to understand what it means to be saved. And I'm going to tell you, that's why the Bible said in Matthew chapter number 9, verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching. Notice that, teaching in their synagogue. Then the second phrase said, preaching the gospel and healing every sickness and disease among the people. Now, why did Jesus teach before he preached? You know why? Because they had to have an understanding. Amen? There's a reason we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock and preaching at 11 o'clock, because you have to have teaching. Teaching touches the intellect. Preaching deals with the soul. But you've got got to have both of them. Isn't that right? Thank God for good teaching that helps you to understand. You see, you got to present the gospel to a sinner. A sinner has to understand that they're lost. They have to understand they cannot save themselves. They have to understand Jesus came and died on the cross for their sins. And if you've got understanding this morning, I'm telling you, whether or not you get saved depends on your attitude. Amen? You see, when God tells you, when He opens your mind and gives you understanding, you take a little old 4 or 5 year old boy, listen, he might get saved, but he will not get saved until he understands the gospel. Some don't grasp it until they're 10 years old. Some grasp it at 4, 5, 6, 7. You say, well, I can't hardly comprehend that. That's because that's not your brain. But when you understand the gospel, when you come to the place where you know, okay, I'm a sinner, I deserve to go to hell, and I cannot save myself, and Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and He wants to save me, then here's the thing. Now it comes down to not your understanding, it comes down to your attitude. You see, you only got two ways to go with that. You'll either accept Christ or reject Him. You either say yes or you say no. You see, some people read a gospel tract for the first time and they understand it and they say, I want to be saved. You say, do they get saved? Well, they get saved. You know why? Their attitude. Some people, you can give them a gospel tract and witness to them, and they don't get saved. It's not a problem of understanding. It's their attitude. They turn the Lord away. This boy in this verse, look what he said. He said, I will arise. Now, when you think about those three words, it tells us that it was personal. He said, I. Nobody can get this boy out of the mess that he's in. He's got to be willing to get up himself. Hey, sinner, nobody can save your soul until you get to the place where you're willing to be saved. God wants to save you. In fact, I'll go as far as to say this, I don't think the problem with sinners getting saved is God's fault. Amen? I don't think God is sitting there in heaven just trying to wait a sinner out. I never have believed that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible said in 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved. He wants everybody to get in. Now, don't you think this morning, if everybody in this world would turn their heart to Jesus Christ and get born again, don't you think God would save every sinner on God's green earth right now? That's why Jesus came. He'll save anybody that'll come. You won't read anywhere in the Bible where anybody ever came to Jesus and He sent them away. No, He wouldn't send them away when the disciples said send them away. He's not in the sending away business. He's in the soul saving business. Amen? And this boy said, I'm going to my Father. And it was personal. His attitude was personal. It was purposeful. Look what he said. He said, I will arise. It all starts with your will this morning. Now look at me this morning, sinner. It just comes down to a simple question. Are you willing to be saved? You got to be willing to come to be saved. This boy, you know why he got delivered? Because he got willing. His attitude changes. You couldn't tell him nothing in the beginning, could you? When he was at home, you couldn't tell that boy nothing. That father couldn't tell him nothing. The servants couldn't tell him nothing. Not till you after he got out in the world, the hog pen of sin. All of a sudden, notice the Bible said he came to himself. And when he came to himself, you know what happened? His will changed. All of a sudden, his attitude changed. He's willing now. He wants to go home. Hallelujah for the day when a sinner says, you know what? I'm tired of the mess I'm in. I'm tired of living this way. I've lost everything living like this. I just want to go to the Father. I'm going to tell you, if you'll come to the Father this morning, He'll rescue your never dying soul. He'll save you from the clutches of the enemy. He'll write your name in the Lamb's book of life. Hallelujah. His attitude was purposeful. It was positive. He said, notice that word. He said, I will arise. Up to this point, he's going down. Everything about his life is spiraling out of control. He's in a downward direction. But all of a sudden, he ain't looking down. Thank God for the first time he lifted his eyes up out of that hog pen and said, I'm getting out of this mess. It's just that simple. You might be here and be lost and say, oh, preacher, I can't sleep at night. My heart is troubled. I'm miserable. Well, you don't have to live another second miserable this morning. If you'll just change your attitude and swallow your pride and say, you know what? Jesus, I'm coming to you. He'll open it. His arms and He'll take you right in. Hallelujah. He won't turn nobody away. You see, being saved's not hard. I think a lot of times people complicate it. But it all has to do with the attitude this morning. The day I got born again, I didn't know John 3:16, but I knew I was in trouble. And I knew I didn't want to stay in that trouble. He said, what'd you do? I just arose. He's been going nowheres but down. But now he wants to go upward. I like that old song. We sing it a lot, and I mention it a lot because of singing a lot. That song, Higher Ground. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bow. Lord, plant my feet. Isn't that what God does? He plants your feet on higher ground. Amen. Hey, we're living in high cotton today. Amen. We don't have to bow our head, we that are saved. We don't have to bow our head at the world. I got up this morning not in a drunken stupor. Didn't have to feel sorry about what I did last night. Hey, I knew who I was. I was in my right mind. I'm telling you, going to church on Sunday is the best thing that ever happened in my life. I'd rather be here to be in a bar somewhere. I'd rather be here to be in a dance hall somewhere. I'd rather be down at the house of God. You say why? Because thank God when you've been brought out of the graveyard, you don't want to be amongst the dead. You want to be amongst the living. Hallelujah. His attitude. And then notice his actions here. Look at verse 20. The Bible says three more words, and he arose. In that little phrase, his action speaks of his determination. He not only thought it, but he put it into practice. See, you can sit there and think about, I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I need to be saved. I know I need to be saved. But nothing's going to happen until you take action. Until you get out of your seat and say, I'm coming to be saved. You can sit there in that seat and go to hell just as quick as a man can sit in a prison and go to hell. His action, and he arose. I will arise. But he did more than think it. He put his will into action. He arose. It speaks of determination. It speaks of direction. He said, I'll rise and go. And he arose and came to his father. You see, this boy knew where he was going and who he was going to. He didn't know how everything was going to play out. He couldn't. If you'd have stopped that boy and had 1,000 questions, now what's your father going to say when you get there? How's your father going? Well, how do you think this is? No, the only thing he said was, you know what? This is all I can do. I can change my attitude. And I can take action. And I'm just going to go to my father. This boy would have said, you know, I don't know what my dad's going to say. And I don't know what he's going to do. I'm just going to do my part. And the rest of it's up to him. You know, that's how you get saved. There's only one thing you can do. Get out of your seat and come to God. And everything else is up to Him. But if you'll get out of your seat and come, if you'll take action and say, you know what? God brought me to church this morning to hear the gospel, and I've heard the gospel, and I know I need the gospel, and I'm coming to be saved. If you'll just come and leave everything else up to Him, guess what? He'll do everything He needs to do. You say, what's He going to do? He's going to accept you. Amen? And I see this boy, he knew the direction. I tell you, listen, if you know you're going to hell, just turn around and say, I'm going in another direction. That's how I know I'm not going to hell, because I'm not going in that direction no more. Thank God. When you're alive, He'll change your direction. Thank God. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I see his action. It speaks of his determination. It speaks of his direction. And it speaks of his decision. There's no doubt this boy made the right decision to leave where he was and come to God. I've never met anybody, never, ever have I ever, and I don't think I ever will, meet anybody that got saved that said, would ever say, I'm sorry, I wished I wouldn't have got saved. You've never met nobody like that. But I've met Brother Mike, I've met a bunch of them. I said, man, if I knew it was this good, if I knew you could have this much peace, if I knew life could take on this kind of meaning, I'd have got saved a whole lot sooner. I'm telling you, I got saved when I was a 13-year-old boy. But if I could have got saved at 5, I'd have got saved at 5. If I could have got saved at 6, I'd have got saved at 6. Amen? I'm telling you, being saved is the best thing that ever happened to any of us this morning. And it's good to know you can lay your head down at night and know if you never wake up again this side of eternity. Hey, I've laid in bed at night and worried about a lot of things. But I'm telling you, for the last 30-something years, I've never pillowed my head and worried about where I'm going going to spend eternity, hallelujah, because I can tell you, thank God, it's all taken care of. I'm telling you, that action was taken a long time ago, and what a difference, hallelujah, how Jesus makes when he passes by. Amen. You say, preacher, I wouldn't get excited about it. Well, don't worry. You don't have to. Thank God I can't help it this morning. Amen. I just passed from death unto life. I just been brought out of the graveyard. I just had my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank God, been born in the Spirit. It'll make you want to shout hallelujah. You don't have to act like me, but I'm having too good of a time to act like you right now. Amen? I'm just saying I'm glad my feet's been set on a rock. I'm glad he established my goings. I'm glad he pulled me up out of the muck and the mire. I'm glad I'm not what I used to be. It's just good to be saved. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm about to think myself happy this morning. I mean, just saved, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, washed in the blood. I'm telling you, know that you got Christ living on the inside, the hope of glory, hallelujah, this morning. Praise God, it's good to be saved, amen. It's good to know Jesus Christ. It's good to know, hallelujah, you never got to worry about going to hell. I never got to worry about going to hell. I never got to worry about it again, hallelujah. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name this morning. Thank God. I'll tell you, that fires me up. That makes me want to go home, amen, and eat a roast about this big. Praise God. Woo! It's good to be saved, isn't it? They can have everything they want out there. I'm telling you, I'd rather have Jesus as silver and gold. Thank God to be born again. You could be born again today. Wouldn't that be wonderful if you got in the big family of God? Wouldn't it be great? You say, I'm just a little boy. I'm just a little girl. You can come and be saved this morning if you want to. His attitude, his actions. And then notice his announcement in verse 24. The Father has something he wants to say about this boy. And he said, for this my boy was dead. And hallelujah, is alive again. I'm telling you, and I just seen that looking at this phrase. When you think about the announcement, I just saw this. It's present, isn't it? For this my son was dead and is. Right now, at the very moment, he's not dead anymore. You know, salvation's, it's present tense. Brother, I'm telling you, if you're saved, you're just as saved. If you got saved 20 years ago, guess what? You're just as saved right now as what you were 20 years ago. And the very second you got saved, you're just as saved then as what you are right now. I'm not working for it. I'm not trying to earn it. There's no 7 steps of deliverance this morning. There's not 15 steps. There's not even 1 step. Amen. I'm telling you, like a newborn baby, you just passed from death unto life. Amen. He said in the present tense, his announcement is present tense. I like this better than what I wrote down anyway. Amen. And then I'm going to tell you something. It's in the positive tense. He's alive. I'm going to tell you something. You can't get more positive than life. Thank God for life this morning. You know, we have these house plants. It's probably a terrible illustration, but it's on my mind, so I don't know if that's God or not. And we have this one house plant that well, I better not say that. It's just an ugly house plant. Can I tell you that? My wife even told me, she said, that's ugly. So I went and bought this real nice pot about 4 years ago. And I put it in there and I said, well, it looks better because the pot's really nice, isn't it? And you know, it's kind of like you take an ugly woman, she can fix herself up, can't she? That's a worse illustration. I just lost half the congregation. I didn't call you women ugly. I just said a woman ugly. You classify yourself if you think you're ugly. But I thought the pot would make a difference, you know, but it didn't. The plant's still ugly. She said, I just get rid of it. But I can't. I can't get rid of the thing. The ugly, it's like, it's the ugliest, but I cannot get rid. I've thought about throwing it in the trash, and I can't. And so I've just been watering this plant for 4 years, taking care of it. And I cut a leaf off, and I thought, well, that makes it look better. And I said, what do you think about that? I said, you cut a couple of leaves off, you know, it's perfectly round. And she's like, still ugly. And it is ugly. He said, why do you need to keep that 4 years? I've thought about just throwing it in the trash. There's only one reason I won't throw it in the trash. It's got life in it. I just can't bring myself to get rid of it, Brother Danny, because it's alive. And if I'd show mercy on a plant, an ugly little plant because it's got life in it, how much more would God, the giver of all life, show mercy on a sinner that's dead in his spirit, but he's alive in his body? I'm telling you, sinner, the only reason your heart's beating and your lungs are breathing right now is because there's an all-seeing, all-knowing, unseen hand. He's a God sitting high in the heavens, amen. He put the life in your body, and he loves you far more. I love that plan. I'm just going to confess it. I love it, amen. But even I think it's ugly. But you can love ugly things, can't you? That's a good sermon. Some of you are ugly, and God loves you. But you know, God loves you, sinner. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You have life, and you only have one life. Don't waste the one life you have. Get saved. When you have physical life, why would you turn down eternal life? You can have so much more than just life. In the physical realm, you can have it in the eternal realm. The announcement, it was positive, it was present, and it's possible. Look what he said. He's alive again. Again. God wants to make you alive again. You see, Adam had that life and he lost it. And the last Adam, not the second, but the last Adam. If he was the second Adam, that would mean there could be a third or a fourth or a fifth. But he's the last Adam. Amen. But the last Adam came to give us life eternal. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life, but that you might have it more abundantly. And finally, notice not only his announcement, but notice his acceptance. Look at the last time he uses that phrase. He's going to use it in verse 32 in the presence of one that is not happy about this sinner's resurrection. You know, how could anybody not be happy about somebody getting saved? You know, the only people that are not happy about somebody getting saved is religious but lost people. Because the elder brother represents the Pharisees. They weren't never happy about anything spiritual. You take somebody that's in church that doesn't know God, they could have been in church all their life. They, you know, they just don't know how to get happy when sinners get saved. It's no big deal to them because they don't have life in them. And this brother, he despised this boy, this brother of his. And the father proves his acceptance here when he says it was meet, it was necessary that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again. Plain old Georgia language, the father, he declares his life and defends his life to this brother. He said, you may not be happy about it, but I'm going to tell you something. It was needful that we be merry and be glad because your brother was dead, but he's not dead no more. Wouldn't that be a great thing to be said about somebody here this morning? You came to church dead, but you're not dead no more. You know, sinner, God will accept you if you'll come to him this morning. We're going to sing, what is that, 287? 286. Now, you say, why'd you ask for that page number? I'll tell you why. If you was here Sunday night, you know why. You probably don't even need the book for this song. But I've preached the gospel the best way I know how. And for every person that's here that's saved, you have a responsibility now in this invitation. I've preached the gospel.
Now I want you to sing it. I want you to sing it with conviction. Because I really believe, I said this this week. And I may say it everywhere I go. Maybe it'll bring a revival of invitations back again. I remember as a boy, when the man of God would preach, and when the congregation stood, those people that were saved, they had a burden for sinners. And they sang with conviction. And when they lifted their voice, here's what you knew if you was lost. It wasn't a few people mumbling words. If you was lost in that building, you felt like you was way out in left field. Because that congregation lifted their voice and they sung that hymn with great conviction. And what it did is it separated the saved from the lost. It's too easy for lost people to blend in nowadays. And I think we all have a responsibility. Well, we need a burden for sinners, don't we? But I'm giving one proposition. I'm not saying nobody can't use this altar, but I want you to understand, I'm giving one proposition this morning. There's one burden on my heart, and that is nobody leaves lost. I tell you, if you're lost, please get saved this morning. Please come to Jesus. There's not much time left. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a bunch of people got saved this morning? And I believe with all my heart, I believe God wants to see people saved. Little boy, little girl, God wants to save you this morning. But it all comes down to your attitude. You're going to have to get willing to get saved. Sir, ma'am, God wants to save you this morning. But He ain't going to drag you down this aisle. And I'm not coming to your pew. I'm not against that, but I'm just saying I'm not coming. You want to be saved, you're going to have to rise and come to your Father this morning. And you say, that's all you got to do. If you'll do that, He'll do the rest. Just trust Him. Can you trust Him this morning to save your soul? I want us to stand. I want us to sing 287 like we've never sung it before. Just as I am. And sinner, if you're lost, would you come on this first verse?